Spurs Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. Eleanor Cohn and Cy Lauff are interviewing Lillian S. Freehoff on November 3rd, 1975.
Mrs. Freehoff, I wonder if you would tell me something about your immediate family, your father, mother, siblings.
Yes. My family is the Chicago family. My father and mother, both of their families settled in Chicago. My father and mother are both gone now. I had three brothers. Unfortunately, two of them died young, in their early 50s. So I have left now only my youngest brother, still in Chicago. The family lived in a little town outside of Chicago that later became a part of Chicago. But in those days, it was a separate little village and entirely Scandinavian in character. At the head of our street, which was just two houses away from our house, was the Lutheran Church. Nevertheless, my family was able to maintain a very fine Jewish home, observing all of the festivals, keeping a really religious home in this Swedish environment. Our neighbors were Danes and Swedes and Norwegians. My brothers were able to have bar mitzvah because my parents brought in imported teachers from Chicago. But of course the girl was not considered, it wasn't considered so essential for the girl in those days to have that kind of a religious education. And so it wasn't until I had gone away to the university that a congregation was settled in that area, because as the Jews began to come in to that area, a conservative congregation was established. My parents were quite influential in establishing that congregation.
Mrs. Freehoff, can you tell us a little bit more about the atmosphere in your home? You mentioned that it was a fine Jewish home. A little bit about cultural, economic, what your father did for a living and that kind of thing.
Yes, my father was a printer. He worked primarily with newspapers, with the English papers in the city of Chicago, and then later with the Jewish Forward, where he was the foreman of the shop for many years. He was a superb proofreader and typesetter. I always say that I learned my proofreading by osmosis. It must be in the blood, because I became a pretty good proofreader. My father and my mother and my two brothers and I were all voracious readers. My youngest brother was a reader. We children all went together every Friday to the library, and each took out our allotted 5 books, I think it was in those days, and carried this huge quantity of books home. We read in a Catholic way. We read what each one had brought home. Didn't matter whether it was in our direct interest or not. My youngest brother was a reader, but more active in a way, though the rest of us were very active. We participated in a tremendous number of sports. We did everything. As I told you, we were a separate village at that time, and so it wasn't completely built up. We had next to us vacant lots, and we had roast potato parties, and the boys played cowboys and Indians, and it was a very friendly street. And my mother was a very sociable person and very compatible with her neighbors. And so even though we were the only Jewish family in the entire community, and they had perhaps never seen any Jews before, our family fit right into the community, and we all had our friends. We were very close to our school. We all walked to school every day. When we went into high school, it was a longer hike, but we walked. There was no driving children back and forth to school in those days. I took dancing lessons, rode my brother's bikes, because while my father always provided well, there were four children to clothe and educate and so forth. And the boys got the bikes. As the boys got the Hebrew lessons, the boys got the bikes. But they were very kind and shared with me. We hiked a great deal. We were great hikers. My father was very Victorian with regard to his daughter. My brothers had much greater liberty than I did. But I was on a tighter leash because I was a girl. As far as going out was concerned, I wasn't allowed to go out until I was at the university, actually, with boys. But I was allowed to go to parties if my older brother were with me, and on overnight hikes if my older brother were in the company. So we did a great many things together, and as a consequence, the four of us were very compatible. We did a great many things together. Being the second child of the family, I had the duty of watching over my younger brothers a great deal. And so all through our lives, we had this close relationship. My father and mother were, as I said, quite friendly, very friendly people. They had their whist clubs and then their bridge clubs. And they had many friends. We were very strong family people. And so in those early days, we went into Chicago, of course, to see family all the time. Family didn't come as much to us because it was a long trek in those days. Now, it's a part of Chicago you wouldn't recognize. It is a separate area at all, of course. And with the automobile, it's completely different.
What was the name of this community?
Austin. A-U-S-T-I-N, like Austin, Texas. Austin, Illinois. It was right next door to Oak Park. Oak Park was the better known area, and so when people outside of Chicago asked me where I was from, I said Oak Park, and then would say Chicago, Austin next to Oak Park, because people knew Oak Park and they didn't know Austin as well. Our high school was the Austin High School, you see, and a very fine school, an extremely good high school. Still today it is, too. My older brother went to Crane High School because he wanted more of a technical training. But the three younger ones went to Austin High School. Then my family moved to the south side, and my poor youngest brother always had to move in his last year of something. Still, he got through school all right. I don't think you want too much of my early days. As I say, we played tennis and we rode bikes, and my middle brother was an excellent horseman, and he had my younger brother and me well-trained into riding horseback with him. So we did all these things together, surprisingly, for many, many years. The boys being younger than I, they didn't marry until after I was married. My older brother married early. So that we went dancing together, we horseback rode together, we tennis together, and then my little brother would drive me off to my office, and after we'd gone, we would have breakfast out, and then we'd go home and bathe and change and go to our school or office, whatever it was. I was, after I left school, I was a legal secretary for 3 years. And at the end of that time, I became Dr. Freehoff's secretary, and I was his secretary for 5 years.
Mrs. Freehoff, can we go back a little bit? And you mentioned the elementary school and your high school.
Yes.
Was there any other secular education?
No, except for the dancing lessons. I then went on to the University of Wisconsin, but I received my AB degree from the University of Pittsburgh. When I came here, I lacked 2 hours for my degree, and rather than do it by correspondence, I went back to the university. I went to the University of Pittsburgh for a whole year. I was in residence for a whole year. My major was in psychology, and I lacked one credit in philosophy. All the other courses were in psychology at the university. My philosophy teacher was an excellent teacher, but he spoke so fast that it was almost impossible to absorb what he was saying, and so I took voluminous notes and would come home and say to Dr. Freehoff, now this is what Dr. Gabbert said, what did he mean? And then I would get a second philosophy lesson from Dr. Freehoff, so it was wonderful. And then after that, a few years later, I went back to the University of Pittsburgh again to take a course in short story writing with Professor Edwin Peterson, who was so well known and so beloved. He was the teacher, if you will remember, of Gladys Schmidt, the novelist. I'm rather going back and forth a little bit here, but I think we've covered the early days enough, if you'd like to, unless there's something else you'd like to know about those early days.
Well, I think we've covered it fairly well because we are most interested in your life.
In Pittsburgh, yes.
I will ask you a little bit personal concerning your courtship and marriage to Dr. Freehoff.
Yes. Well, there was not very much courtship. He knew me as his secretary, primarily, you know. We were married in 1934. We were to have been married in December, when he might have been able to have some free time for us to go away. But Chicago and Pittsburgh were rather far away, and the long distancing got to be rather heavy. And so he called me up one day, and he said, I can clear 5 days on my calendar. Can you make it by October 29th? So in a flurry of activity, in 5 days, I closed my business affairs and bought my trousseau. My mother and I shopped like mad. I left some of the things for her to do, linens and such things. You know, it was clothes that were important for me to worry about. But we got married within the 5 days. We had exactly 5 days for a honeymoon. We went first to Baltimore to see his family because his mother was bedridden by then, and his father was no longer able to travel too much. So many years later, my father-in-law went to Israel by himself. And they're married again. However, we had those 5 days, and we came back to Pittsburgh on a Saturday. It was the day before the opening Sunday service season. And Dr. Freehoff had some commitments in Detroit to speak that Sunday evening. So right after services that next day, he took off by, I guess it was still a train in those days. We still didn't do much flying in those days. And he left me alone, all alone. I knew absolutely no one in this city. Which was strange, because at the University of Wisconsin, there were girls from all over the country. Now many more children from here go. But in those days, there was no one in Pittsburgh whom I knew. My father had one cousin here, whom he hadn't seen in many, many years. And fortunately, he was such a sweet man. He was married to Fanny Roydell. She was the sister of Rose Broido Rosenbaum, Joseph Rosenbaum, the lawyer's wife. And the Broido family was a very lovely family to adopt for my own. Well, that first Sunday, Dr. Freehoff went off to Detroit, and the congregation came to call on me. All alone, I knew no one. I knew no one's name, but it was very easy. They were all strange to me, but they knew each other, so I didn't have to introduce anyone to anybody. For the next 3 Sundays, that happened. I met the congregation by myself. And then, we had here in those days a joint Thanksgiving service with the three conservative congregations. When I came to Pittsburgh in 1934, Rhode of Sholem was the only Reformed congregation in this whole area in western Pennsylvania. Our congregation later helped Temple Sinai establish itself, also Mount Lebanon, also Temple David in Monroeville. But before that time, there were the three conservative congregations, Tree of Life, B'nai Israel, and Beth Sholem, and our congregation was the only Reformed congregation. We had the joint Thanksgiving service in those days with the four congregations. That joint service was kept up for many years, but I believe that now it is no longer held. And so Dr. Freehoff and his assistant, his first assistant was Rabbi Henry Kagan, were the only Reformed rabbis in this area. And I was the only Reformed Rebbetzin in those days. I've now become the Nestor of the old lady. When Mrs. J. Leonard Levy was alive, it always pleased me very much. And not only because I liked her, she was a wonderful little lady, you know. But as long as she was alive, I was the younger Rebbetzin. When she died, I became the older Rebbetzin.